A team of data scientists tracking the COVID-19 virus and providing advice to the government says today's new case update could signal a turning point. The former Assistant Reserve Bank Governor and Executive Director of the economic think tank Motu, Dr. John McDermott, is leading the data science team at the Asian macroeconomic advisory firm Wigram Capital Advisors. The group's projections of what would have happened if the country had not gone into lockdown were cited by the Prime Minister on Sunday. She said the modelling suggested the country might have had 4,000 cases of COVID-19 by last weekend were it not for the lockdown. The number of cases currently, as of yesterday, is 1,106. And yesterday also saw a slight decline in the number of new cases to 67, despite an increased number of tests being done. The Director General of Health has cautiously welcomed what appears to be a levelling off of new cases in recent days, despite a higher number of tests. Dr. John McDermott of Motu says if the tally of new cases announced today is under 60, it could be the start of the curve flattening. He's here to explain the modelling. John, good morning.
Good morning.
First, who makes up this group of data scientists, please, and what are you doing?
So you mentioned in the introduction, this was Wigram Capital Advisors. This is a firm focused mainly on what's going on economically through Asia, but they've invested heavily in a data science approach. And that's an approach we can take to this problem, watch the data, and then try and forecast and monitor developments.
Does it have an epidemiological expertise involved?
No, not at all. This is complementary. So this is pure data science and econometrics. We're just taking the data and then putting it through standard algorithms and having a look at what then happens.
So is it real?
Different to the mathematical approach that others will take. And I think putting the two bits of information together is advantageous.
Explain what you can learn from the data that is available and the analysis that you are doing of it.
Yeah, so the common data that's available is new cases. And together, if you take some basic assumptions about how long it takes a primary case to pass on to a secondary case, those two bits of information are vital. You can then monitor developments in real time. You can forecast what's going to happen in the next 7 days or so. And with that information, with that evidence, it can really anchor your decision making about what you need to do.
How do you deal with various factors? I've heard people talking about, for example, the number of cases overseas dropping. What is the level of analysis you can do to clear out any noise and avoid oversimplifications?
There's no easy path on that. It is a complex process. Most of the frameworks and the models assume a single outbreak and take it from there. And of course, that's not what we're facing. We're facing with a situation where there's multiple outbreaks, the data's contaminated, and you just have to do the best you can with the available information.
Tell me about the R measure that we're all so familiar with. How is this being calculated, again, using the data that you're being provided?
Yes, something none of us have probably heard about a few months ago. But the reproduction rate of the disease tells you from a given primary case how many people that primary case will infect on average. And this is the key thing to monitor. This tells you how transmissible the disease or the virus is. And what you need to do is recalculate that every single day, monitor it. And if that number, the effective number, starts to fall, that's the first signal that your interventions are starting to make a difference.
Do we have enough data? Have we done enough testing to reach the sort of conclusions people are optimistically looking for right now? We are seeing a pattern in the last few days, if I can very amateurishly put it that way, where we are hearing that the amount of testing being done is increasing, the number of new cases seem to be stabilising in the 80s and then drop back to 67. Again, is there enough testing happening to be able to get optimistic yet about the formal reporting of the number of cases?
I think the right phrase is cautiously optimistic. I think we need to go through three phases. When you see the virus break out, you're on an exponential curve. That's what makes it so dangerous. It spreads so rapidly. The growth rate is massive. You need to move to a second phase where you just get linear growth, just a steady growth. It keeps going up, but not exponential. It's not out of control. That's where we are today. And the third phase is you need to see cases actually start falling. And I suspect we're sort of about a week behind Australia. They're seeing their cases fall. Given the nature of the virus and how long it takes, it can incubate and how long it can take to spread, what we've seen overseas, you really need to be about 12 to 14 days out from the lockdown to move in, to see if what you're doing really is making a big difference. But right now, it's looking very promising, I'll have to say.
Give us how you reached an explanation of how you reached the figure at the weekend that the Prime Minister herself cited, that if there hadn't been a lockdown, there would be 4,000 cases perhaps as of last weekend, 3,000 more than there were at the time. Again, run us through how you reached that conclusion.
Yes. So that's the first thing you do is you calculate the reproduction rate of the disease at that point in time. And then from that point to say, if there was no lockdown, if there's no intervention, what would be the growth rate in the number of people infected from your basic statistics? And because that would lead to exponential growth, we'd have gone to 3,000 to 4,000 very quickly in the space of a week. And so that's what we were being confronted with on the eve of the lockdown.
What is the difference between arithmetic growth and exponential growth? We understand, we've got a concept of the exponential growth based on the reproduction rate and how many people each case is likely to pass on to. But what's the kind of growth that we're experiencing at the moment if it's not exponential?
So the number of new cases we're seeing on a daily basis, it has been averaging around 80, you know, we get 77, we get 89. It's been in that ballpark. So it's been, the number of new cases has been roughly constant, reflecting either because we've closed the borders or because there's a lockdown, so we're removing the ability for people who have the disease to bump into those that do not and are susceptible. So that's where we're getting the arithmetic number, just getting the extra ones coming through. Had we been on an exponential growth rate, we would have seen a massive jump in the cases. And sometimes it's hard for the human brain to truly comprehend exponential growth. There's an old story of somebody putting a grain of sand on a chessboard, and on the next piece you put two, you double it. On the next one you put four. On the next one, you put eight and then 16 and so on. It turns out by the time you get to the end of a chessboard, there's only 64 squares. You just haven't got enough grains of sand in the universe to keep going. That's how rapid exponential growth can become.
What are you looking for in today's figure?
I think at a minimum, it needs to stay where it is. That's still encouraging news. There's still a while to go in the lockdown, but the really encouraging news, the number I'm hoping for, is that we see a fall in the number of new cases. So yesterday we had 67. If we start seeing a number in the 50s, you say, yes, we're on a downward trend. And then the day after tomorrow, if it's in the 40s, we can say we're on the path to eliminating the cases.
Is that the way it should fall post a flattening? Because again, the amateur brain, the non-mathematical brain goes, oh, you might just have a blip in where the tests were done, or there might be just some kind of random factor here. But tracking it as you have over the period of the lockdown, should we expect it to fall in the way that you're describing if we're at the point of, if we're at the turning point? Is that what your data analysts would expect to see?
Yes, that's what we're, if we've moved beyond exponential, beyond linear, to where there was no new cases, that's what we should start to be seeing. And when we're looking at the number of cases, when we started, no country's ever ready for this. We started with 34 tests and then 142 and so on. Right now, we're in the over 3,000 tests per day. And we're not seeing a big jump. So it's not likely we're missing big things. Now, there will be setbacks. There will be random variations. You get one outbreak. This is these that is very infectious. You get one outbreak, somebody not obeying the lockdown, a group getting together, and you can get a super spreader very quickly. So that is a possibility. There will always be that possibility, and the data can be untidy and unclean. But for the moment, we seem to be on track.
All right. Thank you, John. I know we're going to talk again about other work that you're doing, but thank you for being with us this morning on the data tracking that your group is doing. Dr. John McDermott of Motu, he's leading the data science team at the Asian macroeconomic advisory firm Wigram Capital Advisors. It was their data that the Prime Minister cited at the weekend when she said the country might have had 4,000 cases of COVID last weekend. Were it not for the lockdown, by last weekend, were it not for the lockdown.